It is so very good to see everybody who is here this evening. My sermon tonight, if you don't have a copy of the sermon outline, the bulk of it can be found in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last revelation that he received from God to the children of Israel before he died. It is very much, in a certain way, like 2 Peter and 2 Timothy. If you don't know this, 2 Peter is obviously the last revelation received through the Apostle Peter before he dies. 2 Timothy is the last revelation received through the Apostle Paul before he dies. And if you would, to a certain degree, think about this. If you knew you were going to die soon, what kind of message do you think you need to deliver and speak to those who are left behind? Those that you have worked with and labored with throughout your life, what would you want to be saying to them before you die? Think of the book of Deuteronomy in that way. Over here, we're going to begin, though, in the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. I want to use this particular verse for one simple reason. Here, the church is metaphorically referred to as the Israel of God. And where I want to take that is if you will study the Old Testament and study the history of physical Israel and the things that they did in their relationship with God, there are great lessons that spiritual Israel, the church, can learn from those examples. As a matter of fact, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the ages have come." And so the Old Testament is meant to be examples to us today. What I'm going to do in the sermon this evening, we're going to be going to the book of Deuteronomy and seeing the last encouragement and admonition that Moses, through the Holy Spirit, is writing to the children of Israel before he dies. And we're going to be seeing how we can take what he wrote to them and apply it to ourselves today in the church. Let's start now with Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to 13. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them." Now just stop right there. He's warning them about be careful that you don't forget God, but he nails it down to a certain point in time. And what he's talking about is when you've eaten and you're full, when you've built beautiful houses and you're dwelling in your houses, when you're in the land of Canaan, when you've got plenty of crops, when you've got a nice home, everything's taken care of. And he goes on further and he says, "And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." Okay, this is the warning. They're still wandering in the wilderness. They're still receiving manna on a daily basis. Nobody is gathering in and making large supplies to provide themselves for weeks and months. They're living off manna daily. But there's going to come a point in time now when you're going to go into the promised land and the manna is going to stop. And not only that, then you're going to be having your own houses, your own vineyard, your own crops, and you're going to start harvesting your crops. And you can have more food than just for one day. You're going to be having barns full of food and vats full of wine from the grapes. And there's going to come a time when you can have silver and gold. And therein lies the problem. Whenever you get to that stage in your existence, in your relationship with God, the great danger is that you then forget God. You don't need God in your life. You'll take care of yourself. You got this. When you go to Hosea, chapter 13 and in verse 6. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted, therefore they forgot me. Hosea is at the other end of the spectrum. Deuteronomy, before they go into the promised land. Hosea is the last prophecy being given to the northern kingdom before its destruction by the Assyrians. And here we see exactly one of the problems, and the problem is that they did exactly what Moses warned them about. They got financially well off, they got filled, and as a consequence, they forgot God. God wasn't in their thoughts. God wasn't in their mind. God was not the center of their life. God, if anything, was not in their life at all. It was all about them and what they wanted to do and how they were going to take care of it. It's not on the sermon outline, but there's a text that immediately comes to my mind. And that is when Jesus is teaching about the parable of the sower. And he talks about the thorny ground. And the thorny ground are those who receive the seed. But there's a problem. It's when it starts growing, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke it out, and they become unfruitful. Do you see that here in the text where he's talking about getting caught up in your life, getting caught up in your possessions, and you haven't got time for God anymore? When we go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the text that Gary just referred to. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." God understands we human beings. And that is, we get caught up in the cares of this world. We get caught up in our finances and our money and our things and all the balls that we're juggling and all the things we're trying to take care of. And I'm going to take care of it. I got this. And when we get caught up in our world and I got this, I'm going to take care of it, all of a sudden, we ain't got time for God. God understands the need to take the Lord's Supper, I believe, on a weekly basis. For this very purpose, we forget God. We forget Christ crucified. We forget the love of God. We get caught up in the cares of this world, and God is no longer in our thoughts and mind. And so we need to assemble together, and we need to worship together. We need to take the Lord's Supper together. We need to remember. Remember Christ crucified. Remember the sacrifice so that my sins could be forgiven. We need to take our mind back to Calvary. And we need to do it again and again and again. I don't mind telling you this, folks. When people no longer assemble with us nor feel the need to assemble with us at all, I can tell you what's going on. They're forgetting God. They're getting caught up in the cares of the world. And they're so busy, you ain't got time for God. If you're not coming together to worship God, then you're not taking the Lord's Supper to remember the death of the Son of God, and you're not remembering. We need to remember over and over and over again, because we can get distracted so easily. I want you to see what Peter says in 2 Peter. Remember I told you earlier in the introduction? There is a parallel to a certain degree between 2 Peter, 2 Timothy, and Deuteronomy. They are the last revelations before these men die. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." And so, do you remember, by the way, there in John 21, when Jesus was asking Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And by the third time, Peter understands this, because just a few days earlier he had denied him three times. Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you see what Peter is doing here? While he's still alive, he's going to teach them things they already know. To remind them of things they're already established in. They already know this, but he's going to tell them again. I'm just going to go off on a brief tangent. Okay, my sermon this morning on the importance of reading the Bible. I'm sure you had never heard a sermon like that before. Nope, you've heard it over and over and over and over and over. Read your Bible, pray. Read your Bible, pray. What I did in my sermon this morning was just say it a different way. How about sermons on how to obey the gospel? Oh, yeah, you don't know that, do you? You don't know about, you know, faith, confession, repentance, and baptism. You hadn't heard that before. It's totally new. No, you know this. And so sometimes what we get up is we get up and we preach about things you already know, to just remind ourselves, to take us back to the core of our faith and God at the center. To keep going over it again and again, because we human beings, we forget and we need to be reminded. Look at how he says it again in chapter 1 and verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And so, while Peter's alive, he's going to feed the sheep. He's going to remind them, even though they've heard the sermon, the lessons before, he's going to remind them again. And then he's writing down 2 Peter through Revelation so that when he's dead and gone, he can still feed the sheep. Do you see that? He's going to feed them all the way to the end of his life, this revelation he's giving, so that when he's dead and gone, he can still feed them, because he loves the Lord. But he used the same word there, reminder. That's why it's important to go back and read books you've read again and again and again. We need to be reminded so we don't forget. Going back now to Deuteronomy chapter 6, this time, verses 6 through 9. I'm reading from the outline right now. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You do understand that the heart here is the mind. We're wanting to get the Word of God into our mind. And we're wanting it to fill up our mind and stay there. We want the Word of God to stay in our mind, controlling our actions. Getting back to the text and reading it, continuing here now. He says in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children and talk with them. And we'll stop right there. I'm going to come back to that. I want to come back to that. Drop down. Come on, work for me. Now to verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I pay attention when I walk in people's houses. And I like coming in your house, and I've seen this in numerous houses here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's one of the favorites. I like seeing scripture on your walls. Do you see what he's talking about here? You take them and you bind them as a sign on your hand. How often do you look at your hand? Often do you use your hand? The idea is it's always there. I've always got the Word of God right there before me, to where the Word of God is always in my mind. And then he talks about it being frontless before your eyes. It's always there in front of me. And then he talks about writing them on the doorpost, writing them on the gates of your house, to where you've got the Word of God everywhere around you. To wherever you go, you've got the Word. Why? Because we need to be careful that we don't forget the Word of God. Forgetting God then forgetting the Word of God. This is the text we looked at this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. By the way, you may have figured it out already. The sermon tonight goes with the sermon this morning. They are meant to go together. Here again, it talks about letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So it's written in your heart. It's written in your mind. And your mind has got it written all over it. To where it's all in there. To where it's filled up with it. It's dwelling in you richly. Every corner you go to in your brain, there's the Word of God. You want it to fill up your mind. So that you don't forget it, so that it stays there, so that hopefully then by your faith you will do it. Continuing now on 2 Timothy. Notice again the location. 2 Timothy, the last revelation received through the Apostle Paul. Yeah, there's the pattern. The last revelation through Moses, the last revelation through Peter, the last revelation through Paul. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, if he wants us to rightly divide the word of truth, that means, I believe, from necessary inference, it's possible to divide it wrongly. To where you're missing the point. To where, as we learned about, you remember 2 Peter this morning, you can take a scripture and twist it and distort it to your own destruction. And so to not do that, we need to be diligent, studying it, working with it, good workers, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means you got to spend a lot of time with it, folks. To know what it says, to understand what the will of the Lord is, to find out what is acceptable to God. Now let's continue in Timothy. This time, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He doesn't want us going beyond what is written. Don't teach any other doctrine than the traditions and the revelations received from God. Don't go beyond it. And now going back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, this time verses 1 through 4. I charge you therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The responsibility of the elders is to feed the congregation, feed the sheep, feed them the word of God. The responsibility of the evangelist is to preach the word. The responsibility of the teachers is to teach the word. Kind of see a pattern there, don't you? Feed the word, teach the word, teach the word, so that you can know what it says. My job is to let you understand what the word of God says, so that hopefully it'll stick in your brain. There's a reason I give you these outlines. I'm not trying to see how quickly I can go over the information. I'm trying to see if I can get the information to stick in your brain. I want it to get in your head, and I want it to stay there. And so you can take the outline home and read it at your own leisure and study it at your own pace. I'm trying to teach you the word. But notice what he says in continuing here. He talks about a warning. Well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned aside to fables. And so, let's go back to Deuteronomy. Back in Deuteronomy, don't forget God. Take the word of God and write it in your mind, like frontlets before your eyes. Write it on your doorpost, write it on the gates of your house, to where the word of God is always in front of you. Keep it there. Don't forget the word of God. And so here we see Peter talking about the revelation that he's written to the Holy Spirit is so that he can remind them after he's dead and gone. And here you have Paul in the last revelation that he received, talking about the importance of being diligent so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. How do we need to be careful about teaching no other doctrine? And then he warns us about there's going to come a time when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a time when people don't want to hear the word of God. They want to go their own way. You see, once you get God out, then the next thing that's got to follow is the word of God. You first get rid of God, forget God, and then you forget God's word. Now let's stop right there. If you forget God and you forget God's word, exactly what are you going to do with your children? A great big goose egg. Nothing. And that being said, now let's go back to chapter 6 and verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Okay, let's summarize real quickly. Number one, don't forget God. When you get caught up in all the wealth that you're going to be experiencing, don't forget God. Number two, don't forget the Word of God. Keep it in your heart, keep it in your mind. And then take that Word of God that's in your heart and your mind and you teach your children. To what level do you teach your children? You teach it to them diligently. You get on top of it and you stay on top of it. And you don't stop until you can't teach anymore. That means they moved away. How often do you do it? You talk to them when you sit in your house. Okay, when your kids are in your house, talk to them. Turn the screens off and talk to your children. Turn the screens off and talk to your grandkids. And talk to them about God's word. And he says, when you walk, by the way, they didn't have cars then. So now when you're driving down the road and you got the kids in the car, turn off the screens, turn off the music, and talk to them about God and his word. When you lie down, so it's the end of the day, and here you are putting your children to bed, pray with them and talk to them about God and his word. And when you rise up before you go to work, and there you are having breakfast, hopefully with your family and your kids, and they're talking about God and his word. Do you see what they're doing? They're seizing the moments of life. These are farmers who have to get up before the sun so they can eat, so they can be out in the field when the sun comes up. And so they got to seize the moments with their children when they're waking up, before they go to work, when they're at the end of the day, when you're walking with them, when you're sitting there in the house. Seize the moments with your children. Okay, now that I'm going to get on my soapbox. The Church of Christ used to have a reputation when I was young. Even though people may have disagreed with us theologically, we had this reputation. Those people know the Bible. We were known as men and women who had the Word of God in our minds. And it was dwelling in us richly. That was our general reputation when I was a young boy. Those days are gone. Those days are long gone. I have friends, dear friends, who are teachers at Harding University. They talk to me about situations. And this is something I've been told time and time and time again. They don't know the Bible. Those who are even getting degrees in Bible don't know the Bible. That's the reputation now of people who are getting majors in Bible. And the people who are getting the majors in the Bible, what about the others? We're getting the general reputation of where you don't know what it says. And therein lies the danger. When you don't know the Bible, you have just created a vacuum in the mind. The truth is not there. and the vacuum will be filled. Something's going to go into that vacuum, and they are going to believe something. And it probably won't be the Word of God. As a consequence, they can be easily deceived and led astray like sheep easily. Do you see now the importance of not forgetting the Word of God and then teaching your children diligently? I'm tired of seeing generations of the body of Christ leave God. And if I was going to try to give you one primary reason for it, it's because we don't do this. We forget God's Word ourselves. We ain't got time for it. We're busy. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. We're busy. I ain't got time to talk to my kids about the Bible. And as a consequence, they don't know it. And we make the big mistake of assuming faith and assuming knowledge because they come to worship service with you. You came to worship services with me. Surely you know, surely you believe. And then when they get away from home, they're gone, 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 and they're not coming back. How many times is that going to happen? I'm vomitingly sick of it. The solution is this. Teach your children at home. There's the answer. Just spend time with your sons and your daughters, talking to them about God and His Word. And you may be thinking, well, they don't want that. I assure you they do. I assure you, I promise you, your children and your grandkids, they want to spend time with you. They want to interact with you. And so love them enough to teach them what you have learned. If we don't, we're just going to keep losing members who should be faithful. And we're just going to keep bleeding till we die. Enough of my soapbox. Now back to the sermon. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, now 20 through 25. When your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord our God has commanded you? And then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Verse 23, then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteous for us. It will, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Okay. So what are they doing here? They're told to sit down with their kids and talk to them about what happened back in Egypt. Talk to them about the plagues. Talk to them about the miracles God did. Talk to them about going to the Red Sea. Talk to them about the manna. Talk to them about all the things that happened. Talk to them about how God gave them the promised land. Talk to them about Jericho. Okay, you see that? You just tell your kids what happened about the works of God in the past. Now let's bring it to the New Testament. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And your fathers did not provoke the children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, hear me now, and grandfathers. Teach your children the Word of God. Teach your grandkids the Word of God. Talk to them. Explain to them about the works of God. Explain to them about Jesus. Explain to them about God's great love for them. Explain to them about Calvary. I understand sometimes when they're young, they may not understand it. But you know there comes a point in time when they do reach the age of understanding, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on, and it's like, oh, that's what that was for. That's why he died. I mean, how many of you work with your kids and had them do memory verses? I remember working with my own children, and I can even remember the verse. It was Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And they quote it right down the line, and I said, what does it mean? They went, what? What do you mean, what does it mean? I don't know what it means. I can tell you what it says. Okay. Your children, they don't understand. But now they're grown men and women, and they do understand. And the word's already there. You see, you get the word in their minds and in their brains. And then when they reach that age of understanding, because you have prepared the soil and it is ready for the word, they will receive it into their hearts readily, and they will have their own faith, and then their roots run deep. There is no greater joy than to hear that your children walk in truth, is there? No greater joy. For that to come to pass, we need to teach them while we can. And then finally, going back to Deuteronomy 7, this time Deuteronomy 7, verses 2 through 4. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. And he explains the reason why. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. When you go to Judges, chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, one of the saddest verses, he says, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? And then he explains to them in the same chapter, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them that did not know the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. There's the conclusion of it. They forgot God, step one. They forgot the word of God, step two. They didn't teach their children the word of God, step three. There was a vacuum in the minds, and so what went into the vacuum was the religion of the land of Canaan. They did not remove the idolatrous land, all the idols in the land. They let some of them stay there, and what remained went into the vacuum. There arose a generation that did not know God. Pull back now and get back on the soapbox. Our reputation when I was young, those people know the Bible. You may disagree with them, but folks, man, those folks in the Church of Christ, they know the Bible. Good reputation to have. Now it's being replaced with, they ain't got a clue what it says. They don't know what it says. And now there's a vacuum, and make no mistake about it. The religions of the world around us are going to fill that vacuum. Continuing the text, he says, and they forsook the Lord God and their fathers of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtaroths. Okay. Now we're getting down to next week's sermon. Yeah, this is just the beginning. You're going to be seeing how long was this a problem in the history of Israel? From here on until the Babylonian captivity. And so what I'm trying to show you is the apostasy of Israel that happened over and over and over and over and over again for centuries, all the way to the Babylonian captivity, was because this first generation didn't do what Moses of the Holy Spirit told them to do. They forgot God. They forgot the word of God. They didn't teach their children the word of God. They didn't talk to them about Egypt. They didn't talk to them about the Red Sea. They didn't talk about what God had done for them. They didn't know God, and they went into the religion of Canaan. And it stayed there for generations. That is the lesson spiritual Israel must learn, or we will repeat the same thing today. And it will destroy multitudes of future generations of people who should be in Christ, who are not in Christ because the chain was broken, because the word of God was not taught. Judges 2:17, yet they would not listen to their judges, and they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commands of the Lord. They did not do so. Now let's tie it home. 2 Peter. Again, notice. 2 Peter. Last revelation received through the Apostle Peter. But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Last revelation received through Apostle Paul, warned about the coming apostasy through the Gnostics. Last revelation received through the Apostle Peter, warned about the coming apostasy through the Gnostics. And there was going to come a time when many would follow the destructive ways. Do you see that there is an extremely important lesson that we can and must learn from Deuteronomy, 2 Timothy, and 2 Peter? They're all doing the same warning. And that is, we need to remember what God has done for us. Remember Christ crucified in Calvary. Remember the love of God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly and fill up your mind. And then tell your kids all about God and his love and his word. Get them grounded so they have their own faith and their roots run deep, and they live and walk by faith all the way to the close of their life. And the grandkids that you do have will teach you. Be taught by your kids. And then your grandkids will teach your great-grandkids. You see how it just keeps on going? So let it start with me. I need to be careful that I don't forget God. That I don't forget the word of God, and I let it dwell in me richly. And I seize the moments and teach my kids and now my grandkids. And get them to the point to where hopefully it is their own faith that they walk and live by. And encourage them to do the same thing to the next generation. And just keep it going. Just keep it going. Because when you stop, when you forget God, when you forget the word of God, when you don't teach your children the word of God, they're going to believe something. What they're going to believe is going to be what's out there in the world. It's going to fill up the vacuum of their brain and their mind, and it's probably not going to have anything to do with God. And once they go down that path, it can continue on for generations. That's the lesson we can learn for ourselves today from physical Israel. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening who is not in Christ yet, if you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be willing to confess your faith, repent of your sins, follow the word of God by faith in your life, and we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already and there's sin between you and your God that you haven't dealt with, we want to encourage you to deal with it. Take it to God. He is gracious. He is merciful. He's willing to forgive. Take the sin to God. Confess it to him and turn from it. We as your family will pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
Ten fifty.